So look to your neighbor and say, happy birthday. Today is the day we celebrate the birth of the church. Today is the day we call Pentecost. And so that's why we're here today. We're here to celebrate that. And so we just want to remember, today is the day the Holy Spirit came. And we're going to really dig into that, what that means. But it's an exciting time in the church and really, honestly, challenging for us. And we're going to see is what the Holy Spirit has called us to do and what He's doing inside of us. So that's what we're digging in today. My name is Jimmy. I am the family ministry coordinator here. If you're new, welcome. We're so glad to have you. If you're a returner, kind of glad to have you, but not as much as them. No, seriously. I said this in the last service. We had 30 people in here, adult and youth, that are serving well back right now. And some of you serve first hour. Some of you serve other days. So just the church is you. We are here to help and encourage, but the church, it's all of us. And so thank you for being here. Thank you for coming. Thank you for serving. And we're just blessed to have you guys with us. And so today we are in Acts chapter 2. And so if you want to go ahead and turn there or open your phones there, whatever it is you have. If you don't have a Bible at the back, there are some Bibles there. Feel free to take one. If you need one, please take it home. We'd love for you to have that as a gift from us. So Acts chapter 2 is where we're going to begin. Give you guys a chance to get there, and then we're going to read it together. So just follow along if you would. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together. They were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who speak in Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own languages the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying one to another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they're filled with wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea, all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, that great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Let's pray. God, as we come before you, and God, as we remember today, Pentecost, the day that the Holy Spirit fire fell, God, we pray that you fall on us right now. The Spirit fills each and every one of us right here, right now, God, that whatever it is that you want each person here to hear, God, may they hear that. May it not be about me, but about you. And God, Spirit, fall. Fall on each and every heart, that we may be filled to take the word that is spoken today into the streets, God, and proclaim the name of Jesus boldly with the Holy Spirit as our guide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so as most of you know, if you're new, maybe you don't, we have a boom. And the boom is just, what is one of the main points we want you to take away from today as you walk away? And this is the boom for today. Followers of and witnesses for Christ are filled with and empowered by the Holy Spirit. They walk in new life, worshiping God and proclaiming the gospel. And that's what these apostles and the men that we are, and women today we're going to talk about did. And that's what we want to do. And that's the big overarching principle we want you to take away from today. So let's start with verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. It says this. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Who were they? They was 120 men and women, all races, all ethnicities, come together that had been following Jesus. Started with 12, and now it's grown to 120, and now they're all together in one place. It's not sure. Some say they were in the upper room where they were when they were Jesus. Some say they were in the temple because when Jesus left them, says Scripture says they continued to worship in the temple. So it doesn't really matter, but that's just some ideas of what's going on. But they were all together. So why were they all together, and why were they waiting? And Luke 24:49, we read where Jesus says, "And behold, I am sending the promise my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high." So Jesus has told them, promise is coming. I'm going to, the Father promises, we're going to send it, but you need to wait. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to do, isn't it? To wait. To wait on God, to wait on what He's doing, and really let the Spirit guide us. But they knew they couldn't do this in their own power. They knew that Jesus had promised them something, and they were going to wait obediently, and they were going to continue to pray and seek. And so Rob talked last week about this, and this is the other thing Jesus said, another reason they were where they were, why they were waiting. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And so again, they were waiting on this promise that Jesus had given them, the promise that the Father had given through Him. And so they were waiting in this room all together in one place. So Pentecost, you may or may not know what Pentecost means. Ultimately, Pentecost means 50. There's kind of a build-up here of what it's really coming to. And so the first thing we see about Pentecost is the Passover. So the Passover, in Old Testament times, was the time when the Israelites were told to sacrifice this lamb, put the blood over the door, so that when the angel came through, it wouldn't kill the firstborn. So it was a foreshadowing, it was a looking forward at what Jesus was going to do as our Passover, as our sacrificial lamb. And so now Jesus represents the Passover for us. We are no longer dead. Our bodies may die one day, but our spirits are going to be alive forever with the Heavenly Father. Amen. And so we don't have to worry about that anymore. Jesus took that on for us when He died on that cross. And now, Feast of First Fruits was a time, 40 days later, that ultimately really was a harvest feast. It was called the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of First Fruits, because it was 49 days. It was 7 weeks. And so this was a time they would come together, and they would bake this bread, and there were some sin examples in there. But we could preach all day on that, so we're just going to give you a general idea. That's kind of what's going on. But ultimately now, the Feast of First Fruits is Jesus when He rose from the dead. And so Scripture says, He is the first fruits of those who have died, and so now resurrected. And so we know that Lazarus was resurrected, and so he was not the first one to do that, but he's the first one of power. He's the first one, as he was resurrected, God's promises were fulfilled. And so he is actually the first fruit of those who have died and been resurrected. And so now we're all going to be resurrected one day. Our spirits are already there, but it's one day we're going to be in heaven with him. And so he is the first fruits of that. So, but now we're at Pentecost. And so Pentecost is 10 days after the first Feast of First Fruits. So we've gone 49, 7 plus, and now we're at 50. All right, and so, or one more after that, excuse me. So now we're at Pentecost, meaning 50. And so Pentecost had really celebrated for years. One guy I read said it had been almost 1,500 years they had been celebrating this Feast of First Fruits, this Feast of the Weeks. And so it's a long time. It's a long time to be doing one thing. And obviously, God did this. You know, God, I mean, there's so many of these parties, really, that God set forth and wanted them to celebrate. And so they were doing what God wanted them to do, but God was about to change it. He's about to do something new in their lives, something not status quo. How many times in your life have you just been working on your own? How many times have you just been doing something over and over and over again in your own power and nothing changes? Amen? I know I have. I know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, right? And so it just doesn't work. So I know I, I work in my own power and I try, and I even feel like I'm doing good things. Maybe I'm coming to church. Maybe I'm going to Bible study. Maybe I'm trying, all these things I'm trying to do, but I'm going to force myself through it. That's not what God has for them now. God has something new for them, and He's got something new for us. We don't have to work in our own power anymore because the Holy Spirit has come in here at Pentecost. So Pentecost was this celebration, this 50 days. This is the time that the Holy Spirit was going to fall, the promise that Jesus gave them. Two words I love when I begin to think about things like this is but God. But God. But God. But no, but God. But I can't know but God. You know how hard my life now? But God. And so just wait on the Spirit and let Him work in your life. Verse 2. Let's keep moving. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty and rushing wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting, and in divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, Spirit fell. Let's start with what is the Spirit? The Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Just because He's a third person, does that make Him any less? No. So the third person, so you've got God, Jesus, and you've got the Holy Spirit. Three people, equal, separate, but all God. Boom, mind's blown, right? And so He's not an equal, not, and it's not like He's been hiding in a corner waiting to come. He's been around. He was in the Old Testament. He helped with creation. He was definitely in the work of Jesus. That the Holy Spirit is the power that raised Him from the dead. The Spirit moved Him when he was in the wilderness. And so the Spirit's been here. He's not hiding, but this was His day. This was His day to be proclaimed, to come out and say, I'm here. In the Old Testament, He would come to people and He'd hang out over them and whatever God had them, they would do, and then He'd leave again. He's not leaving anymore. He's here. He's in us. So when the Holy Spirit came, it says He fell like fire, it divided, and it went into each and every one of them. Each and every one of them. And He stays with us, and He's working in us, and He's giving us power, and He's comforting us. And so Holy Spirit is here to stay. God sent His promises. He'd already given us one gift. He'd already given us His Son, who died on the cross, who paid for our sin, is now sitting at the right hand waiting to come back. But now we've got this other gift. This gift, because He knew we couldn't do this on our own. Jesus said, hey, it's better if I leave. There's another one coming. It's going to give you power. It's going to remind you of all these teachings. It's going to do all these things. And so now we each can have, we all have the opportunity to have the Holy Spirit in us. So this Spirit came, and He came in with a rushing, loud wind. So loud that the people and all of this Pentecost that had come for this ceremony heard it. And so how many of you have been in a tornado? Actually been around one or through one? We were at our church actually one night, and we heard it was coming, and the news called us. So we all bunkered down in this room, and we had some really faithful, awesome women praying. I was over in the corner shaking, really kind of not, but maybe. But you heard it coming. It was like this loud train, and it was so strong and powerful, it actually blew the doors open. I imagine that's kind of what it was, this loud proclaiming. God was proclaiming Himself, the Spirit proclaiming as He blew in. Crazy thing is it didn't blow did not blow the doors open. It did not blow the house down, but it was loud and proclaiming. And so the Spirit was coming in like this wind, this wind, and this wind brought new life. The word used here is the same word used in Ezekiel. If you know the story in Ezekiel, there were all these dry bones, dead people. They'd been there so long, all that was left was bones. And He spoke over them, and He said, come to life. And the wind came rushing through, and these dry bones came to life. They had ligaments and sinew and muscle and skin and tissue, and they stood up and walked. Dead, dry bones. What does that speak to about our lives? What does that say about us? I mean, we're living. If this brand new wind of life comes into us, doesn't matter what I've been through, what I'm going through, let me rephrase that. It matters. It matters. Don't hear that. Don't hear my words wrong. But Jesus can bring new life. The Holy Spirit can come into you and breathe new life into whatever is going on in your life right now. Hear that right. So, what happens? What happens when you mix wind with fire? Yeah, it blows up, right? It takes oxygen. And so, picture the church is going to explode today. 3,000 people are going to come to know Jesus because of one man who's listening to the Holy Spirit who denied him a little while back. And we'll get more into that. But so this wind, this fire comes together, and it's going to explode through the church. Fire has been used to talk about God and explain God's power in many instances. Think about the Israelites and how they were led. They were led by fire. So all through Scripture, you see God's working power described as fire as they come together there. So the Spirit came. The Spirit is the Trinity. He is the third person. He brings power. He was promised to us. And here's kind of what He brought with Him when He came to these 120 people. So what He brought first was the birth of the church. And again, that's what we celebrate today is the birth of the church. So, and you guys remember the story of the Babylonians, the Tower of Babel, right? They were going to come together, and they were going to build this awesome tower. I mean, it would have been a heck of a feat. They're going to build a tower all the way to heaven. But they're going to do it for man's purpose. It wasn't for the glory of God. And so God said, no, I'm going to separate you. And so He took them and He moved them across around the world, and He gave them different languages. And so God's people were segregated, and they had different languages, and there was no unity there. That's gone. Now the Holy Spirit has come. You've got people from 15 different geographic locations come together, 120 people, and they're all speaking their own language. They were hearing. God unified. He broke the curse of that disunity. He's unified the church now through the power of the Holy Spirit for all of us. So that's He brought the birth of the new church, and then He brought baptism. And so a couple of different words for baptism used. We have baptisms here. We have water baptism. We believe in full immersion. And that baptism is a proclamation, a public proclamation of your saving faith, of how you have accepted Jesus Lord in your life. And so you're buried with Christ and you're risen to life with Christ. And so we 100% believe in that. We 100% want to do that. But this baptism, a little different. And John said that I baptize with water, but he who comes that I can't even tie his shoes, I'm not worthy of that, he's going to baptize with fire. And so they talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and there's definitely power and giftings that comes through that. We'll talk a little bit about, but just if you break it really down, what the baptism of the Holy Spirit means is this. You are identified with Christ. You're identified with the body of Christ. A unity, again, that brought all believers together as the body of Christ. So 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all members of the body, though many are one body, so is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, all were made to drink in one Spirit. We're going to see this theme all throughout today. Doesn't matter your social status. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter your ethnicity, male, female, where you came from. We all are one body in the Spirit, in the body of Christ. We all have the same availability of the Holy Spirit, and so there are no disqualifiers here that we're talking about. So He came, He had the birth, He brought baptism, and then He brought a filling. So baptism is really a choice. God gives us free will. He wants all to know the truth. He wants all His creation to know Him as His children. But honestly, it's a choice that we get to make. Filling is a commandment. Ephesians 5 says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are commanded. There's a difference. When I accept Christ as my Savior and my Lord, I automatically have the Holy Spirit. All of us have that. But I'm not filled by the Holy Spirit. It's a continual thing. I have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, it's kind of a crazy paradox, conundrum. To be filled, you first have to be empty, right? But have you ever ran out of gas on the side of the road? I have. And so I pushed it. I was like, oh, I know it's past E, but I can make it 2 more miles. No big deal. And I think I've done that in my spiritual life, too. God, I know I'm supposed to spend time with you. All right, God, yeah, I know I'm supposed to pray. I know I'm supposed to worship. I know I'm supposed to go to that discipleship today. God, I'm really tired. I'm doing okay. I can make it another week and then go, and then I fall flat on my face. Whatever sin was in my life, whatever I'm trying to get out of, whatever fear, whatever it is, it overtakes me, right? And so I've got to be empty to be filled, right? And it's like I can't run out of gas. And so I got to be empty. And so I got to be filled. I'm actually going to drink this later. But it's a continual thing. So now I wish I could pour it back in there. I've got to be empty to be filled, but I got to be filled to get empty. Right? And so the Spirit wants to fill us. And so, but you know, I found this quote. Man, it really resonated with me. What fills a person controls them. Yeah, come on now. I can't tell you how much that resonated with me. So I have a question for you. What's filling you? Is it pride? Is it anger? Is it fear? Is it control? Is it addiction? What is it? What's filling you? Because what fills you is going to control you. Romans puts it like this, Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So what's filling you today? Are you being filled with the Spirit? Are you walking in life? Are you filled with the flesh and those things that are wearing you down, weighing you down? So guys, the Holy Spirit, it's available to all of us. We all have that power, that availability. If you keep reading in Romans, the rest of the 9 through 11 says it like this. Is you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact in the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if you have Christ in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If you have Christ in you, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Amen. Come on now. You have that power. You have that same power that took a bunch of guys that were, let's talk Peter, for instance. He denied Christ 3 times, right? Now he's denying, now he's proclaiming, right? You've got a bunch of Galileans. And so these Galileans, in their eyes, were farmers, rednecks, not real bright, all right? That's how the Jews saw them. That's how the Romans saw them. But these are people that were not real smart. For them. Now they're speaking languages they don't even know. You know, we go to Guadalajara, Mexico every year. I actually drink this now. And I pray, God, please give me supernatural Spanish speaking power. It never happens, right? I don't want to do the work. I just want God to give it to me. But just think about that. Think about the fact that they all of a sudden were speaking new languages. How much of a testimony to God that was, and how much they were speaking of His works and what that looked like. I know God still does those things. There's no doubt in my mind He still does those things. You know, the people hear their own language and see visions and these things. So He's still working in there. I just wish He'd give it to me from Mexico. We have that ability. So what else does the Spirit bring? Let's look at the next set of verses, 5 through 11, and see what else the Spirit brings as we walk with Him. Now, they were dwelling in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who speak Galilean? How is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya, belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." So this loud sound, this proclamation of the Holy Spirit of God brought people in. They heard it. They were wondering, what's going on? Our lives should be that same way. As we proclaim God, as we are walking out the gospel, as we are living in our lives, people see that in us. Some people are going to run. Not everybody's going to want it. They're afraid. They don't want to get in the light. They like the dark. But a lot of people are going to see it, and they're going to come, and they're going to ask. And so what this loud sound, what these guys, these ladies, 120 men and women, speaking in different languages, brought them in. They were wondering, what is going on? And it says they were amazed by what they saw. I have to admit, in my own life, there are times I have lost the amazement of God. it saddens me to say that. I walk in my everyday life and I lose. I don't know. But I don't ever want to be there again. I don't want to lose the amazement of God of what He's doing. And every day I wake up is a blessing. I have breath in my life. And I can walk out and I have my family. And yes, I want to be home with Jesus. But every day that I'm awake is a blessing. And I want to be, and the little and the big, I never want to miss that amazement. I want to remember like all these people from 15 different geographic locations, they saw what God was doing and they were amazed. I want to see what God is doing and be amazed every day of my life. Now, some of them, again, some people are going to run, they're going to turn, they're going to make up things. They said, surely these people are drunk. Come on now, drunk. And so what they were, they missed, they plugged in physical for spiritual. They missed it. They missed the physical and spiritual. Scripture tells us that do not be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that probably, there's probably some, you know, they were laughing, joyful, those kind of things. We have those in the joy, and you have those in the wine, right? But they missed it. So let's not miss the spiritual and the physical. What is God doing? What's the spiritual things He's doing in our life that we can be amazed about and not miss? And just, you know, and Peter had to explain it to them. So sometimes we have to explain it to the people around us. What is God doing? Peter said, come on, guys, there's no way they're drunk. It's 9 a.m. Look, we don't even eat our first meal in Pentecost until 10. And so there's no way they're drunk. Here's what's going on. And here is where the first ever church sermon happened. Peter, again, a guy who denied Christ, a guy who Jesus said, or not denied Christ, woo, a guy who, well, he did deny Christ. And so he denied Christ, and then Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, to Peter once. Come on now. So this is Peter, who was totally falling off the edge, is now proclaiming Christ to 3,000 people. That only happens by the power of the Holy Spirit and that new life that comes from that. And so by the power of the Spirit, he's standing before all these men saying, look, here is what's going on. And this is what he said. But this is what he uttered through the prophet Joel. And so Joel, you'll find the prophecy in the Old Testament. This is a scripture taken from there. Again, led by the Holy Spirit to this prophecy. He's starting with scripture in his sermon. He says, and in the last days it shall be God declares that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the Lord, the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. So verses 19 through 20, that hasn't happened yet. Those are still prophesying about the Jesus second return when he comes back, that things are going to happen. And so when we look at, so then why did he use Joel? Why did Peter choose Joel if these are things that aren't all happened yet? And so most of the belief, and here's what people think, and I think it's probably right, is that his point, the whole thing he was trying to do, is saying, look, the thing that God promised, the thing that Jesus promised about the Spirit is here. He's come. He's given us this ability to prophesy. And the rest of it's coming, yes, but we're in this part. You know, there's this thing called the already not yet kingdom. And so this already not yet kingdom means because Jesus came, the kingdom is here. We're in the last days. We're in the days that the Messiah came and is going to come again. And so for right now, we're here. We're in the kingdom. And so we are called to prophesy. We are called to proclaim the Lord. We're called to share the gospel. And there's going to be a day when Jesus comes back and he's going to consummate his kingdom and all of the rest of this is going to go away. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. And we'll be praising God the rest of our days. So that's what's coming. Amen. Yes. And so that's what his focus here is this. Hey, the Spirit's here. This is what it means. This is what we need to do. And so no matter, again, we're back to this theme, no matter if you're boy or girl, no matter if you're young or old, no matter if your social status, as you know, if you're a Dalit that cleans the poop out of in India, out of the sewers, or if you know you're the richest man in the world, doesn't matter your social status, you have first the ability to be saved, to call on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to have your sins taken away and have eternal life with God. Second, you have the ability to receive the Holy Spirit who brings new life, who builds up out of death into your heart, into your life, and empower you to share the gospel. So that's what we have. So what? So I said, talked about disqualifiers a little bit. There's only one disqualifier. And that's you don't know Jesus as your Savior. That's it. That's the only disqualifier there is. Talked all those other things I just said. That's it. You Jesus first, and then the rest of it comes with it. So just remember that, walk in that. That's your only disqualifier. There's nothing that can keep you from the rest of this. So what does prophecy look like in the church today? Basically, and you know, and Rob's been walking us through this and teaching us through this, prophecy is proclaiming God, proclaiming the goodness of God, building and edifying the church. And so John Piper, his quote, I think, says it better than I ever could, puts his two here, and it says, Joel, remember this prophecy came from the Old Testament Joel that Peter's using, is not trying to get us excited that we'll one day be able to know the future before it happens. He says there's nothing especially holy about that. He's looking to a day when men and women everywhere will be filled with God. Listen, church, that they catch the vision of Him in the daytime, dream about Him at night, and speak of Him continually with their mouths. Would that all God's people were so filled with God that our love and admiration could not spill over into words. Would be that every Wednesday night and every Sunday night we might come together so deeply moved by the Spirit that we would fall over each other to testify in prophetic words of edifying praise to what we have seen God do. Oh, that we would be so in love with God and be so full of Him and His Spirit that it would just overflow out of us. And we would proclaim Him just naturally as we go. That we would build up His church, that we would speak life into people, that we would share His word and His love, just because it's overflowing out of us. That is what being filled with the Holy Spirit looks like. And we'll talk some other parts here in a second, but that's the basics. It's emptying myself out of whatever it is, even if it's the Holy Spirit. It's a daily thing. I wake up in the morning, Holy Spirit, fill me today. Lord God, I love You. I want to be with You. I want to, whatever it is You have for me, Spirit, guide me today. And when I walk into my house at night, I want to be so drained, all I can do is go to sleep. Because I let the Spirit walk through me. I get up the next day and I do it again. So continually being emptied and filled by the Spirit and not letting those other things get in the way. They're real. Nobody says they're not real. But Jesus can take those away. The Spirit can give you the power to walk through those. Whether it's forgiveness, whether it's pride or anger, whatever that might be, you have that ability because the Spirit is in you to be emptied of those things. So how do I get to this point where I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? First foremost thing, and whatever you're looking at, it starts here. It starts with me on my knees in prayer. If I don't know who Jesus is, verse 21 says, all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That starts right here on my knees. If I know Jesus, it still starts on my knees. Lord God, fill me. It's a prayer like this, like Charles Spurgeon says. He says, oh God, send us the Holy Spirit in this fashion. Give us both the breath of spiritual life and the fire of unquenchable, unconquerable zeal till nation after nation shall yield to the sway of Jesus. Pray those powerful prayers. Every day, ask the Spirit to fill you and use you in such a way that God will be proclaimed until the nations have heard of this Jesus that we proclaim. From there, you've got to be in God's Word. The Spirit of God and the Word of God cannot be separated. They are intertwined together. So I want to be filled with the Spirit, but I got to be in His Word. I need to know what it is that God wants to tell me in this cosmic story that He gave us in His Bible. He put this together so we would know Him, so we would know His heart, so we know what His will is for our life. So I've got to be in that. They're mixed together. And then I want to grow in my love for Him. And I want to praise Him with all of my heart, all of my soul, all my strength. What am I doing daily to praise the Lord? Yes, it's worship. Yes, it's singing. Yes, it's all these things. But how am I living my life out? And am I in the game? Have I taken all this stuff and put action to it? Am I in the game? I'm a sports guy, an athletic trainer in my past, and so I love this quote. It says, if the church is going to be an effective witness for our Savior, we cannot be water boys in the game of life. We have to roll up our sleeves and pitch in. Our lives must display the inner reality of what we externally proclaim. This is why the gospel flame is racing and growing around the world. The apostles walked their walk, their talk. Are we walking our talk? Are we living out what we say we believe? So the Holy Spirit, He's the third person of the Trinity. He's speaking to God. He's empowering us. He brought these things with Him. But when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you accept Christ, what is He bringing into you? What is He bringing as He comes? And so, a few things. First thing, again, He's bringing new life. And I don't think I can say this enough. The old man is dead, and the new man is alive. The sins and choices of your past, the circumstances of your past, they no longer define who you are. You can't let Satan keep you down in those. He who is greater in you is greater than he who is in his earth. It's real, but don't let it keep you down. You're no longer defined by those things. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the Spirit brings new life, and then it produces fruit in you. And so, you know, the fruit of the Spirit we talk about in Galatians 5. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are things the Holy Spirit wants to produce in you and grow in you. These are the characteristics of Christ that will grow. It starts with love. And everything else follows. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbors, yourself. It starts with love. And so do you see these things in your life? Are these being produced? Is the Holy Spirit, are you allowing Him to empty you and fill you and produce these things in your life as you walk through the day? Again, that's the only way. The only way these 120 people could have done what they did. Because they had these gifts of the Spirit and these fruits in the Spirit walking with them as they proclaimed God's Word. He brings gifts. We're not going to dig real deep into this because we're going to, as a church, we're going to work through this more as we go. But He does bring gifts. Again, He's already given us some amazing gifts. He gave us His Son. He gave us life. He gave us the Holy Spirit. But He continues to give us these gifts. And these gifts, again, they're not just selfish gifts. They're gifts for us to build and edify the church, to glorify God with them. And so one of the places you find talking about these gifts is in 1 Corinthians 12. And it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another in the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretations of tongues. So gifts are given. So He gives us new life. Walk in your new life. You're not. I have too many times in my life, I have been filled with anger and let that overflow out of me. I'm not that person anymore. I need to walk in the love and the Spirit that's in me. Walk in your new life. I have fruit. I want to live that out. I want to spread love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. I definitely need patience. I want these things. I want to live in those. I want to use the gifts. God, what gifts have you given me? Ask Him if you don't know. Reveal to me what the gifts you've put in me, Lord. I want to use them every day of my life. Ask the people in your life, what do you see in me? What is it you see that God has given me? How do I walk that out? Use your gifts that God has given you. All of this gives you a testimony. So God, so the Holy Spirit gives you power, testify, an utterance. So proclaim. What did this 120 proclaim? The gospel. God's works. Right? So what God was doing, proclaim those things. He's giving you, that testimony is yours. It's yours to share with others, to share what God has done in your life, and let them know what He can do in theirs. So use your testimony. Use that power. Let the Spirit guide you in that. It gives you the power to be a witness, to go to Judea, Samaria, to Wichita, to Kansas City, to Africa, to the ends of the earth. Be witnesses to wherever God sends you and proclaim the news. You have the Holy Spirit in you to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. That's really one of His biggest, it's one of His main jobs, is to proclaim Jesus and praise Him in that process. So back to the boom. Followers of and witnesses for Christ are filled with and empowered by the Holy Spirit. They walk in new life, worshiping God and proclaiming the gospel. So church, today, I pray that you allow the Holy Spirit to empty you, to fill you, to walk as a bold witness for Christ, to walk in the new life He's given you, worshiping God in everything you do, and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ who saved you and is raised from the dead and is coming back to take us home someday. We said this in the first service. We're not a defeated foe. Satan has been crushed under the feet of Jesus Christ. Exactly. We are not a defeated foe. Walk in the victory of Jesus, Christ the victor, that is in our lives. That's walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me pray and then the worship team will come up. God, as we come before you, so many amazing gifts you've given us in our life. Truly, really undeserving. We were rebellious. We ran away. God, we threw your word back in your face at times. I know myself. But you continue to be there. You continue to love us with an unending, unconditional love. You sent your Son, Jesus, to die for us. You gave us this Holy Spirit. God, may we learn to walk in that new life. May we learn to let go of our past. May we learn to worship you, God, to walk in this new spirit that's been given to us. From today forth, as we walk out this door, may it be a power-filled, Holy Spirit-led life that proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ who has saved us from death and sin. So today, Lord, give us power. Let us pray over one another as we are in this time of worship. May we glorify you in all our actions and just raise our voices. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.